Rocky McMullen, Frank Isola, Clinton Yates, Israel Gutierrez. When is the last time you heard Madison Square Garden like that, Frank?
That might have been a U2 concert in 2017.
Okay, enough of that. Ed Morant and Gobert, this is what it's like when worlds collide. Let's go.
Just set him up for that.
Starts off. Well, I mean, what was he
going to say? More points. That was a moment, too.
Nice
in the Jim Dolan's band taking an encore. JD in the straight shot. Yeah, that was the last time you heard of him. How the Knicks turned it around in the third quarter is how we start. And how Nate McMillan played it for Atlanta. Trey in an upright and locked position. Too much bench time for Mr. Young. Julius Randle.
Very cute.
He was like a streaker hiding in a tube. But he showed up. Obi Toppin showed up. Derrick Rose led the way. A throwback performance for Rose and the Knicks, even with the Hawks. Frank Isola, around the horn to you. Your number one takeaway from game two.
For me, it's Derrick Rose. 5 years ago, he played for the Knicks. He was so down that he actually left the team and went AWOL. Here he is reunited with Tom Thibodeau, his old coach in Chicago. Look at the performance that he had last night, along with Julius Randle, who showed up in the second half. And here would be my thing about that game. Tom Thibodeau stretched Derrick Rose as much as he could. He's 32 years old. He played 39 minutes. Hey, Nate McMillan, you got Trae Young. He's only 22. You got to play him more than 35 minutes. The Knicks caught a bit of a break that Trae Young only played 35 minutes last.
So let's drill down deeper on that, Frank. Do the Hawks win that game and go up 2-0 if Trae Young plays more?
You know what? I think you can never be satisfied. Even though you won one game, you have to take your chances come playoff time. And there, they got a 13-point lead. The crowd is a little out of it because you got to play Trae Young. He's 22, and he's been killing the Knicks. I thought playing him 35 minutes was a mistake.
Jackie McMullen, we'll bring you in here. You can start there. Was it a mistake by McMillan to sit Young as much as he did?
I don't think it was a mistake to sit him, but I think it went on a little too long. You know, when Trae Young's on the floor for the Hawks, they're a plus five. When he's off the floor, they were a minus 14 in this game. That's a pretty big swing. Now, normally, if your Hawks shooters are operating properly, maybe you can keep them out a little longer. But Gallinari and Sweet Lou Williams, they were a combined 3 for 16, Tony, from the floor. If those guys aren't going it, you know what? You don't go by the book. You pull the plug and say, sorry, Trae, man, I need you back in there, and I need you back in there now.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I'm not ready to blame Nate McMillan as much as I'm ready to credit Tom Thibodeau for starting Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson in the second half because, you know, we talked about the Knicks quite a bit here, and I guarantee you one name that has probably never came up, Elfrid Payton, and he's their starting point guard for 63 games. So he had to make Tom Thibodeau a really tough decision there because Derrick Rose has essentially been their third best player, probably behind R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle. So you make that decision, and then you pull out Nerlens Noel, who offensively is quite limited, and at least, you know, you can get a baseline jumper from Gibson. So I'm going to credit Thibodeau and say that change is what sort of inspired and changed the game and the momentum more so than, hey, I'm going to have to play Trae 40 minutes in this game to adjust. I don't think that it would have been an overreaction, perhaps, from Nate McMillan. I think now going forward in the series, if he needs to, yes. But last night, not going to blame him too much.
Oh, you are crediting Thibodeau, though, for playing Rose in the second half. He did start Elfrid Payton, which many in New York
different
were
rosters,
saying that was not the move to make. He was -7 in his 5 minutes or so. Clinton Yates, now bring you in here.
I would say that what happened with Nate wasn't a mistake. It just didn't work. I mean, what he said after the game was, listen, I've got to figure out what I've got from my bench anyway, which in a series makes some level of sense. If your bench is going to be producing at that level or you've got to figure out what it is, okay, this is a scenario in which you up a game, you try to see if they're going to be able to respond. They didn't. They lose that matchup, and Trae still walks off the court smiling, which was my biggest takeaway from all this. This is the best series in the playoffs right now. Fans are going nuts. Legitimate animosity in the crowd, ridiculous incidents aside, this was fun. And to see that level of interaction between the crowd and all the guys on the court, I just thought, man, I am very, very excited about watching Hawks-Knicks, which is not something I thought I was going to say a month ago.
Well, we're excited that you're excited, Clint Yates. Frank, since you brought it up, let me go back to you for a second. Thibodeau playing Derrick Rose 39 minutes to get this win in two. Do you think that will have an effect on how Rose plays in game three?
It could, but as we know, you don't play back-to-back in the playoffs. And, you know, the guys are mentioning Elfrid Payton. It's a tough call. They don't want to put Derrick Rose in the game early. They want him to finish number one, but they also don't want to start him where he could draw fouls. But what Izzy pointed it out, you can't keep getting in a deficit and trying to claw your way out of it. So it's going to be an issue. I think he's going to stick with Alfred Payton, but you can tell the pressure and the media is, and the scrutiny is starting to get on Tom Thibodeau for playing Alfred Payton.
As we heard Trae Young say, they're going back to Atlanta. Who should feel better about themselves, Jackie Mack?
Well, if I'm the Atlanta Hawks, I got a split in Madison Square Garden. Can we just talk for 1 second about the fans in that game last night? That place was turned upside down. And the Hawks came out of that with a split and were in a position early in the game to win both of those games. So if I'm Trae Young, I'm coming back home and I'm saying, okay, let's see how you feel about my home cooking. I will say this too. Role players, we always talk about it. Reggie Bullock gave them some great minutes last night, the Knicks did. I think Trae Young's figuring, you come home, my boy John Collins isn't going to be in foul trouble all night. He's going to have more than a goose egg for points in the next
Quinn week. Yates.
Bench players play better at home. That's why they're bench players. I think the Hawks in this situation are going to be much more boosted than the Knicks because they came out of that with the split, and I don't necessarily know if they expected that going in. I love the job Nate's done, even last night's decisions aside.
Gutierrez.
The Hawks have more adjustments available to them. The Knicks seem to, like, pull the parachute here and say, okay, we need more of these two guys. This is the way we have to win. The Hawks have some more things they can experiment with if necessary, so they should feel better.
Frank, about that crowd at MSG last night, that seems like a different crowd than the usual crowd they had for the – well, I guess they never played in the playoffs in the last 1,000 years. But recently, what did you think about that crowd, Frank?
Oh, you can tell it's a really young crowd. They're probably doing pretty good sales, selling beer and alcohol there. And they've been into it. Remember, you have a pandemic, and you got the fact the Knicks have not played a home playoff game since 2013. The fans have been waiting for this. And remember, when they go to Atlanta, there's a lot of expats living down in Atlanta. When the Knicks were there in 99, half the building were Knicks fans.
Oh, so you're going back to 1999 to source your story there? We'll take a doc on that for Isola. We'll move on. How the Jazz evened up with the Grizzlies last night. They got Donovan Mitchell back. They let Ja Morant go off for 47, but shut down everybody else and Utah gets the W. Morant said the 47 didn't mean a thing without the win. That Morant and Gobert play at the rim. That's a round of applause for all parties involved. Morant for just trying it and Gobert for stuffing. Jackie, what'd you learn from the Jazz win?
Well, I learned that when Donovan Mitchell comes back into the game, the Jazz are a completely different team because of the spacing. And it's not even just because Donovan Mitchell is scoring. It's because when he drives to the basket and attacks the way he does, he draws defense and he gets open looks for all his teammates who miss 37 threes, I think it was, in game one. I also learned that Dylan Brooks is having trouble guarding Donovan Mitchell, but Mike Conley and others are having a heck of a time guarding Ja Morant, who is just... he's even filthier than I thought. He is just a joy to watch because he plays so hard, and those guys are not afraid. Talk about a split. They're going back to Memphis saying, bring it on. I don't care if you're the top seed.
Israel Gutierrez, what did the Jazz show you last night?
That their offense is that much better with a threat like Donovan Mitchell there. You just look at the assists, the 28 assists there for the night, which was a good number for them. Not huge, but a decent number for them, at least compared to Memphis. Rebounding, they can dominate the boards in this series. It's really all on Jonas Valanciunas to have to do that on his own on the other end. And yeah, the ball movement and the passing remains sort of their strength, even though you have such a great scorer like Donovan there. If you look at his first couple of open shots, they were open threes off swings. He didn't have to create much himself. So it's going to be a lot of effort in terms of defense and rebounding for Memphis if they're going to stay in this
Clinton
year.
Yates.
Vibe-wise, though, again, they got a $140. It seemed easy for the Jazz. I mean, they are an NBA Finals threat with Donovan. Without him, I don't see it happening. But I do want to take this time to give a little credit to Ja. One of the things that I think people think about him is that he's sort of a dunk artist, and they don't realize how smart of a basketball player he is. And so to let him go off, I mean, he's shown in this series that the Grizzlies are getting there in terms of their pacing and what they're doing. They're not really equipped to beat a team like the Jazz at this point, but I like everything I've seen from Ja, obviously, and I think that they've done a pretty good job in terms of progressing since the bubble last season.
And Frank Isola.
Memphis was terrific. They won two elimination games and they took a game one. This was a game Utah had to have. What I don't understand is how can Donovan Mitchell play 26 minutes last night, but in game one, he couldn't play 15? to 20 minutes. He could have helped them, and give him a lot of credit. You don't play since April 16th, and you just walk right into a playoff game and perform like that? That says a lot about him. And they had 19 three-pointers. They got back to being the team that they were that had that great stretch in the middle of the season.
You think the team and Mitchell are able to move past what that was, Frank, two games ago when Mitchell was reportedly furious?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think they proved it in game one. And guess what? They go to Memphis. It's not going to be easy. Get one game there, they're back in control.
Gutierrez, last word.
Ja Morant sort of, he can get to another level in the playoffs when you realize that defenses with a seven-game series, game planning against you, and you can still get whatever you want, that going into next year should do.
What? How many levels are left for Morant to go to, Israel? I mean,
there might be more.
Wow.
He should get to the foul line like 20 times a game.
Taking a break, buy or sell on the other side. We're going to talk about
Larry Johnson.
Popcorn on Russell Westbrook and spit on Trae Young.
The Horn is brought to you by Blue Moon. Blue Moon, a taste made brighter. Please drink responsibly.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code HORN.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Philadelphia 76ers have revoked the season tickets to the fan who dropped popcorn on Russell Westbrook, banning the fan from the arena indefinitely. The NBA says they will enhance their code of conduct for fans. Here's Westbrook after the incident.
The amount of disrespect, the amount of just fans just doing whatever the they want to do. It's out of pocket, man.
There's that, and there's the video that has emerged from New York last night. Trae Young, retweeting the video, but retweeting it to mention 50 Cent. The video alleges that Young was spit on. The Knicks today banning that fan indefinitely as well. An NBA statement enacting an enhanced fan code of conduct will be vigorously enforced, Israel. How do you consider it all? Are indefinite bans enough? What are you hearing from the NBA?
Well, no, I don't think indefinite bans are enough. And what's most disappointing is that we're just starting to get these crowds together after a pandemic, when everybody said, hey, we're going to be more appreciative of everything after we had all our socializing taken away. And this, I mean, we're a week in, and this is what NBA fans are going to embarrass themselves and do. It's absolutely embarrassing. I don't think a lifetime ban is enough. I think, or an indefinite ban is enough. I think maybe a trip to the police station, perhaps, just to frighten a little bit, if you can, if you catch the person immediately doing it, or perhaps a visit from an officer or something at your home. Something has to be done to scare these folks because, I mean, there's no reason to go this far already. We're just getting back into arenas.
Clinton Yates.
I feel terrible for Westbrook. That was such a tough situation. You could see the anger on his face, not just from what happened, but from the game as well. And when you're taking away from the emotion that guys can give to actually playing the sport, that's when you know you have something going wrong. However, I do think that indefinite bans make sense, but I would make them venue specific. Forget about basketball. How about you're not coming to anything at this building for the rest of your life? And then you might consider whether or not you want to act like a jerk when you're watching some quality entertainment.
And that's what the Philadelphia 76ers said. Wells Fargo now off limits to that fan indefinitely. Frank Isola, on what you saw last night, both in Philadelphia and New York.
Yeah, of course, it's outrageous behavior. I actually think the league and these arenas do a pretty good job policing this stuff. By the way, they caught the fans already, and they've done something. I would say this. You know, at Madison Square Garden, if you can't sell the team, they throw you out. But you could say bleep Trae Young, and it's all good. And on the eve of Game 2, you had the mayor of New York, in light of everything that happened, said, well, if Trae Young's out there hunting for fouls, you know, New York's going to show him. Do we really need to say that? You're the mayor of New York? Why don't you take a broom to the subway? Why don't you clean up your own city? You don't even like sports. Stop getting involved in creating that kind of environment for Trae Young. Completely out of line by the mayor. Completely out of line.
Frank, we were praising that New York crowd, the volume of noise and how loud it was just 5 minutes ago. Yeah. Do you believe you could separate the two of these?
100%. You could have passion. You could come up with a more clever chant. You want to say Luka's better or you're not Curry. That's better than F. Trae Young. And give the Knicks credit in the arena. When that chant started, they started drowning it out with the organ. I think the Knicks did a good job last night.
And Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, it's an impossible task to ask these arenas to control everything. Of course they can't, because you've got all these fans and you don't know which one is going to do something untoward. I think what you saw with Westbrook, Tony, was a cumulative thing. This is not the first time he's been accosted by fans, either verbally or otherwise, and these guys are tired of it. I always think of this. All right, it was a box of popcorn. Suppose it was something worse. Suppose it was something that you threw at that player that could injure him or hurt him. And I think that's what all these players are thinking every minute of every day. You know, we keep crossing the line. When does it start to be something where one of us could be seriously injured?
Well, there was a streaker on the field during a rain delay in Washington last night, too. Everybody has a great laugh about that. But the fact is, fans come to a ballpark or arena and feel like they're part of a game. And that's one of the great things about sports. But it's also got a detrimental effect on the other side of it if you feel like you're part of a game, because you're not. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Naomi Osaka, announcing she won't be talking to the media at the French Open, citing her own mental health. Quote, I've often felt that people have no regard for athletes' mental health, and the rings very true whenever I see a press conference or partake in one. We're sat there and asked questions that we've been asked multiple times before, or questions that bring doubt into our minds. She said the whole situation is kicking a person when they're down. I recognize I'm talking to members of the media here, and your view of pre- and post-match availability, understandably, is valuable, if not sacrosanct. But Clinton, how do you hear Osaka there?
After the year that was 2020 in America, there was a term that a lot of black folks came up with, which is simple: protect your peace. And when she talks about mental health as regards to it, how it affects her ability to compete, I completely understand this. She's a young black woman on foreign soil in a non-team sport. This is a completely different paradigm than most athletes operate in. And if she doesn't feel that the interactions that she has to go through add to what she's trying to do, which is win tournaments, I'm completely fine with it. She gained $50 million off the court. It's not a matter of hyping the game. People know who she is. She's the reason they're watching anything anyway. I'm okay with it.
Frank Isola.
Naomi Osaka plays under the Japanese flag. Does she have maybe a problem with the Japanese media that we don't know about? Listen, Tom Brady, LeBron James, the best players in their sport, I'm sure that they don't always want to fulfill their obligation to talk to the media after games, but they do it. I think for her, after a match, and she said, well, they'll sometimes ask me the same question twice. Yeah, we get it. It's not that big of a deal after a match to hold a press conference. I'm sorry.
You believe it's the obligation of an athlete to be available to the media after every event?
Well, I think shutting it down completely, I think most athletes don't want to do it, but I think they feel an obligation to do it, to help the media out and to address the fans. It's one way of doing it.
So our job as journalists has always been the conduit between the athlete and the paying public who want to know their thoughts, their ideas. Now, sometimes our job is to push the envelope a little bit, to ask questions that are perhaps uncomfortable. I think our business has been evolving for a while now. I think there's a way for everybody to feel good about this if we just look at it and change. I mean, the old-fashioned press con sitting up there firing questions, does that work for any of us? It doesn't work for me. Let's find a way that we can accommodate the athlete, the journalist, and the paying public.
So you would evolve the current state of availability.
Yes.
Gutierrez, how about you?
I would probably do something similar. I understand, Naomi, what she's saying here, but I would say even after a match, just maybe give sort of a recap of what happened and make that available to the press so that they can write their stories and tell their stories or what have you. But overall, I'm on board with what she has to say, and I completely understand her mental state.
Jack, you say the conduit, the media. Do you know how many athletes now recognize their availability to get to people through their own social media or elsewhere?
Right.
I mean, Osaka.
I do.
As Clint said, it's...
I do, but Tony, I would argue that we still are their best conduits, because this is what we do for a living. We tell stories, the good, the bad, and that's what fans like to hear. They don't want the propaganda. They don't want the whitewash.
Your thoughts on this? Frank Isola, yeah. Jackie Mack. Stick around. We got Showdown next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Talking about loud crowds, the roof nearly blown off the Nassau Coliseum last night as the Islanders came back and rolled the Penguins out of the playoffs. Islanders advance. What did New York prove last night, Frank Isola?
Terrific team. Not very flashy offensively, but defensively they're organized. That's because of their head coach, Barry Trotz. 3 straight years now, winning in the first round. We want to thank our people in D.C., Clinton Yates, our producer, Aaron Solomon. Thank you for sending your coach to us. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Jackie?
Talk about burying the lead, Frank. You didn't even mention their goaltender, Ilya Sorokin, who's been like the best thing on their team. And if I'm the Boston Bruins, I'm worried because this team is all about defense and physicality, and they're going to make all those Bruins guys earn their
on
points.
On Sorokin, you know, you call him a rookie. He's been around a bit. He's the most valuable player in all of Russia when he was playing for a title there. Good job, guys. We'll split the point and move on. You got to see this. This is from today, this afternoon. It's the play of the baseball season so far. Pirates, Cubs, 2 outs in the third. Javi Baez ground to third, and he gets himself stuck in a pickle, which typically is a bad thing. But then, Wilson Contreras, time to score from second. And then chaos, Baez to first, and error. And then, Baez to second. I mean, that's... it was a fielder's choice, and he's finishing up on second. Jackie, was this the greatest play ever or the worst play ever? I won't accept anything in between.
No, it's the worst play ever. All the first baseman Craig had to do was stay on the bag, catch the ball, hit it for emphasis, and it's done. Crazy. Yeah.
It's the best Little League play ever because it happens all the time in Little League. I love it. It was the Keystone Cops and the circus. Come on, what is it? Will Craig run hard and tag him out.
There were 2 outs. All he had to do was step on the base. Oh, Frank Isola, 30 seconds of FaceTime. Take it.
Wow. Little did you know, but Taylor Twellman is not the most famous soccer player from Maryland. It's certainly not me. I walked on 1 year and they've erased me from the record book. Anyway, Zach Steffen, who played for Manchester City, has won the Premier League. Congratulations to him. On Saturday, American soccer, get ready. On Saturday, Champions League final, Man City Chelsea. An American is going to win a medal because Christian Pulisic, Chelsea, Zach Steffen, Man City. And guess what? Maybe we'll even make the World Cup. There you go.
Frank?
Well, now you're getting carried away.
Don't tell me. I stole today's jam. On a 23 and a half hour break, see you tomorrow.